From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of October 2016. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the reaction to this morning's release from the United States Department of Agriculture with Jerry Golke. He's at the Golke Group. And a bit later in the program, from right here on this campus, we'll be joined by Daryl Good, agricultural economist. As we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. That was Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. There you can purchase your $30 farm assets tickets anytime you'd like.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released its crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. The new numbers are like this. Our carry-in for this year for corn at 1.738 billion, and that did just change a little bit. Harvested acres went up by a couple hundred thousand at 86.8 million. Yield for the corn now at 173.4 on a production of 15 billion bushels, 15 billion 57 to be exact. Carry out at 2.32 billion with an average cash price for the whole of the marketing year at $3.25 a bushel. The carry in for the soybeans changed, of course, with the grain stocks report. It went up to and is now 197 million bushels. Harvested acres did not change very much, 10,000 acres higher, 83 million acres, and yield at 51.4 bushels to the acre, production at 4.269 billion. That puts the carryout at 395 million, and the cash price for the year at $9.05. We're now joined by Jerry Golke. He is with the Golke Group out of Chicago, Illinois, and I think on his farm in northern Illinois near DeKalb this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Jerry.
Good afternoon. Yes, we're getting some resting time. It's a little misty here and stopped the bean harvesting, but I needed the rest. Anyway.
It probably gave you some time to go through some of the numbers that came out of the United States Department of Agriculture. What was your initial reaction then? Then I suspect you dug through those numbers. What'd you find?
Well, you went through them pretty well, and I think what we did see in both corn and soybeans was increase again in exports. Corn by 50 million and beans by 40 million. And if you got to go back, I think only one time in about 15 years of the data that I have we exceeded 2.2 billion bushels that I have in the mix now. I think we were 2.4 in 07, 08 or sometime in there. And of course, it's kind of interesting to see soybeans also over 2 billion bushel exports. So when you look at it, they didn't increase the feed demand or the ethanol demand, so there's maybe some room for that left in it. But it looks to me like we've kind of peaked out probably in the exports. You got to wonder if we can export any more corn or come up for reasons why we're going to do so in corn or beans, unless we have a problem in South America. And then like we did last spring, and then all bets are off, of course. But this is a lot of grain to move out of this country. And what I think I saw initially after the report came out, I was looking at that and I was wondering how long it would take for the government to, for the market to see it. And when you get a feeling that you've stretched the limits on the demand side of things, and of course we, in corn, we decreased the ending stocks a little bit down to about 60 million or so. In beans, we raised them 5 million from that 400 million bushel area. And you almost got to think that with the last major report out of the way and the statistics of their own report showing that it doesn't vary much from here. You get to this point and we don't change much. We've had some big numbers in years of difficult harvest time, but normally when harvest goes well, we're pretty close to it. You know, kind of like to say it is what it is. And what I found interesting there also in wheat was they reduced the feed usage 70 million, which we kind of knew that because the stocks were too high on September 1. But if you're a novice standing on the sidelines or a trader, I guess, looking at it and say, all right, so you lost 70 million in wheat feeding. Where did it go? What did we replace it with? And the government, USDA and NASS, elected not to raise the feed usage in corn for animals, as if to say it was pretty difficult to get much better than this because here we have the cattle market and the hog market sending a signal to producers, please don't increase anymore. Don't expand. We got too much and we're going to make it difficult for you, which they have already. So I think it's a stretch to assume we're going to see increased feed usage in that line item. So it's kind of scary. And of course, the market posted key reversals down in corn and soybeans. I don't know about wheat, it may have, but you know, a key reversal down is where you take out the previous high and low and close lower after you've analyzed that report. So it's especially important on a technical aspect to where the market decided to sell, and what otherwise might have been a positive report where corn was reduced about a bushel and beans didn't get raised all that much, but it did get raised pretty significantly in North Dakota, which we farm up there. We know that was the case. So, you know, it's probably awful close to reality. I don't think you're going to change that production number much more. It drops a little bit in corn, but you got to ask yourself, what is there out there to get corn below 2 billion bushel carry out? Nothing short of a record or a crop problem somewhere else. And beans, 400 million is now we got to wait for South America to help us out again, I think.
So the answer to your question is wheat did post an outside down day today, so that would be a key reversal. And it was a pretty good sized outside down day. Yesterday's trading range was, 7 cents? And the day was twice that much, actually, a bit more than twice that much. It was, not quite that much, 18 cents. So pretty good sized key reversal. I take it that you're looking at all of these and saying, well, between all of this news that we absorbed today from the USDA, the key reversals that are in place, I just don't believe there's any reason at this point for the market to rally. And from here, how far down do you go?
Well, I don't, that's a $64 question. The key is to be in the right position so you don't care. And that's what we strive to do, whether you use options or something. Today, for instance, I told clients that if you're bullish or bearish, and we had people saying the market's going higher because the crop isn't there. Well, their expectations were kind of lofty. Some people are saying, well, I expected 260 corn, but only got 240. Well, what's your VPH? Well, 205, 210. Well, are you going to have a record yield? Yes. So maybe our expectations were too high, and people thought the market had to go higher just because. I think the key is to be in a position in this point in time where you don't care anymore. It's pretty hard for me to sell cash grain here, but you can be hedged with options and futures and whatever, and then just ride it out and see what happens the next 3 weeks. But it does look pretty negative. And today with that key reversal is a technical indicator, but technical indicators are, you know, predicated on fundamental reasons why that happens. It's just sometimes they're in advance of the fundamental situation. But today you had, as I just described, in looking at what's left to really bring this thing more bullish, can we get on our own without outside help? Can we get the carryover below two billion in corn and below 300 million in beans? It's going to take a crop problem somewhere. So we had a fundamental reason for not to be long anymore if you were, and just sit back and wait. So that's my, you know, that's kind of like my final analysis. And it also bodes kind of spooky for next year as well. The wheat crop isn't much of a desire for farmers. And also I'm getting a lot of talk from others that, you know, I can make more money putting beans on my pasture than I can raising cattle. So you've got the whole of agriculture now in a difficult situation, were it not for our extra yield and the backdoor insurance payments we get, we'd be in worse shape than we thought we would be. But when you multiply, you know, 10 bushels an acre more, and I thought about this morning as I was combining a little bit before it got too wet, you know, 10 bushels an acre on my farm is $90 an acre. That's a significant increase, and I think somewhere in there we use that money for cash flow and try to get through next year that's going to have less cash inputs, I would imagine that. And wait and see. There's got to be a problem somewhere out there in the world to help us get prices higher, I would think, before we harvest another crop next year.
Hey, thanks so much, and good luck with the rest of your harvest.
Thank you very much.
That, of course, is Jerry Gulkey. He is with the Gulkey Group out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this edition of the Closing Market Report. A couple of things to keep in mind. You can always visit our website, listen to Jerry again if you'd like, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Jerry will also be one of our special guests at the Farm Assets Conference. He, along with Kevin Van Trump, who's coming in from Raymore, Missouri, that's out by Kansas City, will be there with our regular analyst and a whole bunch of the university folks. That's coming up on the 22nd day of November in Normal, Illinois. I have not updated all the things from the website for that one just yet, but you can buy your tickets today right there on the WILLAG.org website. If you'd like, they're just $30. Scroll down past my Twitter account and all the numbers from the USDA report. Pick those up right away if you can today. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Wednesday, October the 12th edition of the Closing Market Report. It's USDA Report Day, and we're joined now by agricultural economist from the U of I, Daryl Good. Thanks for being with us. Daryl, can you take me through the numbers as released today by USDA?
Let me just hit the highlights real quick, Todd. In the case of corn, USDA lowered its national average yield forecast by one bushel to 173.4. They did raise the estimate of harvested acreage a smidge, so that the production estimate came down 36 million bushels compared to the September. They also raised their forecast of exports for the year by 50 million bushels, and on net lowered their projection of year-ending stocks by 64 million bushels. So relatively small changes for corn. In the case of soybeans, a yield estimate went up another 0.8 of a bushel to 51.4. The production forecast went up 68 million bushels on a slightly changed harvested acreage estimate of only 10,000 acres. Again, the export projection increased by 40 million bushels, and the ending stocks projection increased by 30 million bushels. For corn, USDA did raise its forecast of marketing year average price by a nickel, on soybeans unchanged from the September forecast.
What'd you think of it?
You know, I thought in total changes were close to expectations. The market reaction on soybeans, I think, said that secretly the market really was fearful that the production number would go up even more than it did. A lot of talk of very big early soybean yields. And while we are up a bushel and a half from August and 0.8 from last month, I think the market really thought the number could get much bigger. Which suggests that it may increase again in November. But for the time being, I think the market did show a sigh of relief that the soybean crop is not bigger than expected.
And the work you and Scott Irwin, when you take the numbers and say a big crop actually does get bigger, only if you're looking forward through the system, not when you look backwards from January to the back, does tell you that that'll probably happen in November, you think?
Well, I think taking all the evidence together, saying now that we got bigger in September, we got bigger in October on soybeans, and the crop is already very big, I think would point to another small increase in the yield forecast in November and perhaps in January as well. So maybe not by a lot, but I certainly wouldn't expect the number to come down from what we're looking at right now.
The trade was expecting on the corn the acreage to change maybe much more than it really did. 200,000, I think, or thereabouts was the change. This is the number you gave us a couple of weeks ago and what you thought might happen. Congratulations on that, by the way. Still, this number is good now, probably for the rest of the duration, correct?
I think it's very close. I wouldn't expect much change. We will see the FSA October report this afternoon, but the folks at WASDE have already seen the number. The folks at NASS have seen it. Wouldn't expect much change. And as we indicated a while back, the relationship between the NASS acreage estimate and what FSA is reporting is within range of what we've seen in recent years, and really did not point to much of a change from the June acreage estimate that NASS had put out, and that's basically what we saw today.
And just as a reminder for those who are listening, when you say they've seen it, not only have they seen it, but they saw the number that will be released today, and it's already incorporated into these figures. So it's put into the USDA report already. Now, what do producers do? They're in the midst of harvesting both still a record-sized corn and soybean crop.
Yeah, I think you'd have to say that prices have a bit stronger than we would have anticipated, particularly on soybeans, given the big crop that we have and the build in stocks that's expected this year. We've actually seen some strength. Corn prices have held their own. I think given the strong demand picture that we're looking at, exports, ethanol, and increase in livestock numbers, I think now we can afford maybe to be a little more patient on both corn and soybeans. Wait now and see how the South American crop unfolds. So if I had to choose to sell one or the other, I would still be a seller of soybeans because of the returns that the current price is offering for those that have above average yields this year. It's still a fairly large gross income. So I think from a risk management standpoint, would lean you towards selling soybeans and still maybe a little more holding on corn.
And so the on-farm storage is an easy function. Hold on to it, put it in the bin. How about in commercial storage?
Yeah, that's a little tougher decision because that does get expensive. But I think we're looking at short-term storage, for a few months. I think still that would probably be the preferred way to go.
Yeah, so for most through January, that's what they're going to be charged for anyway. And
once it goes in, you pay that fixed charge and then reassess come the end of December.
Any other advice for producers at this point?
I not a lot of advice, but I think in terms of the questions that face the market now is really the acreage response here in the U.S. next year. Been a lot of talk of maybe moving more acres away from corn to soybeans, and I think that's the tough decision producers have to make now is how much of a switch to make. And if I had a piece of advice, I would guess is not to get completely locked in on those acreage decisions. We'll see how the South American crop unfolds, see how our exports unfold, see where prices are after the first of the year to get a better handle on which crop may offer the better return.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City to discuss the growing region's weather across the planet. Let's start in the Midwest. Just a little rainfall across our part of the world. How widespread? And I suspect it won't keep farmers out of the field for very long.
No, I think it's a very good environment, relatively speaking. Of course, it would be ideal if it was sunny and warm for the next 6 weeks, but that's not going to be the case, but we do only have a very brief period of precipitation here. This system will move very quickly from Iowa and Missouri clear over into Ohio by the time we get to dawn tomorrow. So it'll be pretty quick moving, and I don't think anybody's going to be seriously set back with it. The sad part is it's not the only rain event in the pipeline, but it's the only one for a couple of days. We're going to see an increasing southerly wind blow across parts of the western Corn Belt. This will occur on Friday. It'll bring much warmer air back into the region. We'll be probably fairly amazed how quickly we warm up after that wind starts to kick in, but it does set the stage for some more shower activity as the next frontal system gets ready to come across the area. That will occur on Saturday going into Sunday, so another wave of precipitation is likely to occur across the Midwest. Again, it's fairly light and quick-moving, but still disruptive. And we'll look for moisture totals with that event, probably running anywhere from just a few hundredths of an inch to 4 or 5 tenths of an inch in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, to the range of maybe, let's say 3 tenths of an inch to 9 tenths of an inch in the central and eastern parts of the region. So a little bit more disruptive as it comes through. But we're going to continue the seesaw of dry and warm and sunshiny weather alternating periodically across the region.
How are farmers in the Great Plains doing with their hard red winter wheat sowing?
Well, the planting's going very well. We do have some issues out there with dryness in some unirrigated fields in parts of southwest Kansas, Colorado, and neighboring areas in both the Texas Panhandle and parts of southwest Nebraska. It's not a crisis. But they do need to see moisture out there to help to bolster that crop as it comes up out of the ground and try to give it a good stand. It's not exceptionally cool out there right now, and that's part of the problem. Temperatures yesterday afternoon were over 90 degrees all the way up into the Oklahoma Panhandle. That's really taking moisture away from the region. We've got to replenish that pretty soon so the crop is not stressed before it goes to sleep.
Speaking of stressed crops, in the northeastern part of China earlier in the year during the summer months, they were awfully dry. I think they got some rainfall. Now what did they see for their harvest season?
Yeah, you know, northeast China has probably been fairly moist since August. Things kind of turned around. They started getting rain on a regular basis in August, and it's been fairly moist ever since. They, like the U.S., are dealing with a lot of precipitation periodically, but not so exceptionally great that they can't get anything done. It just is, again, not a very aggressive harvest season that's taking place there. And the weather over the next week to 10 days is probably going to ebb its way into something a little bit more normal, a lot less precipitation expected, but still a few showers periodically. It's not a bad scenario. And it looks like for wheat planting across most of China, I think the situation is still mostly very good as well. There's no real significant dryness out there, although there are some pockets that could use a little more moisture.
That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.